Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, chapter 12, Mohini Murti bewilders Lord Shiva. This is text number 41. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Evam Bhagavata Rajan Shri Vatsan Kena Satkritaha Amantriya Tam Parikramya Sagana Svalayam Yayo Shri. Translation. Shukadev Goswami said, O King, having thus been praised by the Supreme Personality who bears the mark of Sri Vatsa on his chest, Lord Shiva circumambulated him. Then after taking permission from him, Lord Shiva returned to his own abode, Kailash, along with his associates. In response, please. Sri Shukadev Goswami said, O King, having thus been praised by the Supreme Personality, who bears the mark of Sri Vatsa on his chest, Lord Shiva circumambulated him. Then, after taking permission from him, Lord Shiva returned to his own abode, Kailash, along with his associates. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur remarks that when Lord Shiva was offering obeisances unto Lord Vishnu, Lord Vishnu arose and embraced him. Therefore the word Sri Vatsankena is used here. The mark of Sri Vatsa adorns the chest of Lord Vishnu, and therefore when Lord Vishnu embraced Lord Shiva while being circumambulated, the Sri Vatsa mark touched Lord Shiva's bosom. Oh my God, there. So here we are winding up the pastime of Lord Shiva with Mohini Murti. So the final thing here is that Lord Shiva is paying obeisances to Lord Vishnu. And he says in the fourth canto, Satvam Vishuddham Vasudeva Shabditam Adiyate Tatra Pumam Apavritam Satve Jatasmin Bhagavan Vasudevo Hyadokshajo Yam Namaso Vidiyate. So this is Lord Shiva's position. He's always paying respectful obeisances in full Krishna consciousness. And he's explaining that verse how Krishna consciousness is pure consciousness, where the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, is revealed without any covering. So, in other words, this one verse solves the argument. Prabhupada writes in the Krishna book that there is always disagreement between the two parties. The Shaktas and the Bhaktas, or the Shaktas and the Vaishnavas. And this has been going on from time immemorial. In India, in South India especially, I was hearing from one devotee in Vrindavan who came from South India that they regularly have discussions on the superiority of Lord Vishnu over Lord Shiva or vice versa. So this is because there are people in the different modes of nature. And we are fortunate enough to be hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the conclusion of all Shastras. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Lord Chaitanya explains that in this age there are only the Vaishnavas and there are only the Vaishnav Shastras. If we try to understand anything beyond that, then what happens? We become confused, reading too many books, trying to understand things which are beyond our conception. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya specifically appeared to give us the Vaishnava Shastras, and this is what he engaged Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami and the other four Goswamis in scrutinizing all the Shastras so that we can get the essence. And when we read this essence, then we can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then we can understand the reality of the situation. And many, many times in these Shastras, Prabhupada elaborates and the Acharyas elaborate on the position of Lord Krishna in relation to Lord Shiva. This particular question arose many millenniums ago between the sages. They were wondering, who is the superior deity? Is it Lord Vishnu? Is it Lord Shiva? Maybe it's Lord Brahma. And so they employed one great sage, Bhrigu Muni. At that time, Bhrigu Muni wasn't so educated. Why is that? Muni means one who is on the material platform. He's speculating what is right, what is wrong, what is spiritual, what is not spiritual. Otherwise, he would have never done what he did. Actually, it's revealed in the Bhagavatam that to perform this pastime, Lord Krishna covered him. So first he went to Lord Brahma, and Lord Brahma is his father, and he completely ignored him. So internally, Lord Brahma was very, very angry. But Lord Brahma is noted for having very acute or very clear intelligence. So by his intelligence, he could control this anger. But still he was insulted. And so Bhrigu Muni could understand that Lord Brahma was angry. And next he went to Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva's Bhrigu Muni's brother. And Lord Shiva went to embrace him. Ah, Bhrigu Muni, my dear brother. And what did Bhrigu Muni do? He just completely insulted him. You heretic, don't touch me. So Lord Shiva immediately became very, very angry. And he was about to pick his trident up and smite Bhrigu Muni. But then Durgadevi Parvati fell before Lord Shiva, offered her dandavats. He said, please don't act on this platform. And Lord Shiva somehow or other regained his equilibrium. So Bhrigu Muni could realize that this is also not very advanced. And then to Lord Vishnu. Lord Vishnu had got his head in the lap of Lakshmi Devi, and Bhrigu Muni walked in and walked straight up to Lord Vishnu, and in that position he kicked him straight on the chest. Now what will we do if that happened to us? Very difficult. But Lord Vishnu was very apologetic. And even Lakshmi Devi was very apologetic. And they said, my dear Bhrigu Muni, we are very sorry we did not see you come into the room. Otherwise, we would have paid our obeisances and offered you and received you in the proper way. So immediately, Bhrigu Muni became very choked up with affection for the Lord. He couldn't understand who was the supreme deity. And there are many other stories. When Poundraka, this is the intelligence of material intelligence. Why can't we understand who Lord Shiva and our Lord Vishnu is? Poundraka, even so unintelligent that he thought he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In fact, Shukadeva Goswami, the Acharyas quote Shukadeva Goswami. Shukadeva Goswami mentioned twice that Poundraka had extra arms and he approached and he sent his messenger to ask Lord Krishna to surrender to him. He mentioned it twice. And then the Acharya said, why did he do that? Why did he mention it twice? And the Acharya said that Shukadeva Goswami was so astounded that somebody could be so stupid. So this is the material energy. So even though we hear the Srimad Bhagavatam and we hear these stories, then still people cannot understand who the Supreme is. They cannot accept. So why is that? I remember I was doing service in Manchester in England at the time, and one of the services was to go around the Indian businesses, give out prasadam and try and cultivate them. And there was one nice gentleman, Mr. Coley. He used to treat me very nicely, invite me in, give me something to eat and sweet words. But he was a Shiva Bhakta. And so I was very neophyte at the time, and I was thinking that maybe I can gradually turn him into a Vishnu Bhakta, because I knew a little bit of philosophy from the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. And so I used to present that. And we had a cordial argument. It didn't get into anything beyond that. But the next time I went to see him, it was just as if nothing had been said. He was still on the same situation. Maybe that's my purity or lack of purity. But we can understand that if a person is too... What can you say? If he's not controlling his senses, this is the first reason we cannot understand Krishna, Krishna's real position. If the senses are not being controlled, then we cannot understand Krishna. In the Bhagavad Gita, it gives this nice example that we shouldn't explain this knowledge to those who are not ready. I'll find the verse. It says that this confidential knowledge may never be explained to those who are not austere or devoted or engaged in devotional service, nor to one who is envious. So, in the nature of instruction, the first thing we have to do, what's the first thing the nature of instruction tells us in order to make spiritual progress? We have to become a dear, no? Well, dear is a result of becoming Goswami. We have to become controlled. The senses have to be controlled. Atak Sri Krishna Namadi Nabhavet Graham Indre Sevan Mukhiji Vado Swayam Eva Spurachyada. That with our contaminated senses, then Krishna is far, far away. He doesn't choose to be revealed. But when we render devotional service, that's when Krishna starts to reveal himself. Then we can understand who Krishna is very easily. So this is one reason that people think that Shiva is the supreme. Another thing is, what's another thing? They're attached to sense gratification. Or should I say, first of all, we can say attitude. We may be controlling the senses. This verse of the Bhagavad Gita explains how we may control the senses, but I'll read it to you, shall I? It says that even if one is not sensuous, but is strictly following the disciplines enjoined in the Vedic scriptures, if he is not a devotee, he also cannot understand Krishna. And even when one poses himself as a devotee of Krishna, but is not engaged in Krishna consciousness activities, he also cannot understand Krishna. And then he goes on to explain how there are many people who try to understand Krishna without these qualifications. So attitude. One has to have the positive attitude of wanting to understand Krishna, wanting to control the senses. I remember there was one devotee who joined the ashram in Bhaktivedanta Manor. He was so austere and so externally, at least, very devoted. He was polite with the devotees and reciprocated very nicely, very good qualities. He used to get up at 2 o'clock in the morning before anybody else. And when we went down, he was chanting his rounds and he was really absorbed. And then one day he just said, I'm going to join a Hatha Yoga studio. So what happened? And when we spoke to him, we could see that he hadn't understood anything about the philosophy. So Krishna doesn't reveal if the heart is not actually in the right place. This is the point. The heart has to be purified by the proper attitude of rendering service to Krishna. Another point, what's another reason we cannot understand who's the supreme deity? Any ideas? No ideas? Well, in the Bhagavad Gita, there's one nice verse. It gives three obstacles to approaching the Lord. It says, Vita Raga Vaya Krodha. So these are the obstacles which people find difficult to overcome. Attachment to this world and the resultant frustration from trying to enjoy which arises, which results in what? What comes next? Vita Raga Vaya. We come Krodha. Krodha comes and then also fear comes. So when we surrender to Krishna, like Lord Shiva is doing here, he's paying his obeisances, then by that very act, we start to purify the heart, please Krishna. We please Krishna. And when Krishna's pleased, he reveals in the heart the proper understanding. Because in the present situation, in contaminated consciousness, are we seeing Krishna as a friend? Who really sees Krishna as a well-wishing friend in all situations? Nobody knows. From my own personal experience, devotional service is a process of gradually becoming more and more to see Krishna as the friend. And when once we see Krishna as a real friend, then we can surrender. There are three kinds of friend given in the Vedic literatures. Does anybody know what those three are? Or there's three given in this particular verse. Surit, Mitra, Bandhu, what's the last one? So anyway, we can deal with what you've given. Is that one friend is a social friend. I think this is Mitra. Social friendship. So is social friendship very strong? Family relationships, are they very strong? No, they're not. They seem strong, but as soon as there's some slight disagreement, families sometimes don't talk for years, at least in the West. I don't know, India's a little bit more cultured. They're more strong in family ties. And then there's the next one, Mitra. And what was the other one? No, not before, sorry. Bandhu. So Bandhu is the... what's the Bandhu? The Bandhu is the one which is like in business. It's based on formality. We make friends in business or in so many situations because we're forced to. It's not social, but it's obligatory. Is that type of friendship very strong? No, because as soon as we get a better business deal, then we go somewhere else. So because our hearts are contaminated, we see Krishna through this type of friendship. But Krishna is a completely different type of friend. He says, Bhaktaram yagyatapasam sarvalokameshwaram suridam sarvabhutanam gyatvamam shantim richtati. So this surit, suridam sarvabhutanam, Krishna is the well-wishing friend of all living entities. And when a devotee comes to see that Krishna is a well-wishing friend, then we can actually surrender to Krishna. So this is what's happening in this verse, is that Lord Shiva is being purified, if we can, well, for our benefit. Lord Shiva doesn't really need to be purified, but the Lord puts his devotees through certain situations by which that purification seems to take place for the benefit of the devotees. So here, this contamination which Lord Vishnu is trying to purify from Lord Shiva, what's that contamination? The contamination has become a little bit proud of his situation. This is the Lord's mercy on a devotee. When a devotee becomes a little bit proud, then Krishna immediately reciprocates with that devotee. Well, yesterday, Mother, what was it? She was saying that about the king was very proud, and his pride was destroyed by the shepherd. So I had one friend, actually. It wasn't the same scriptural version, but he'd got into a little bit of mire. And when I went to visit him, he said, "I've just been reading about Genghis Khan." And I thought, "What's he reading about Genghis Khan for?" And so then he said, "Genghis Khan was sent by Krishna." And so I was thinking, I couldn't understand what he was talking about. And then he started to elaborate. He said, at that time in Europe, in Asia, especially China, who was a very advanced civilization, the kings had become proud. He said, so this is Krishna's way of dealing with it. Krishna deals personally with his devotee to eliminate that pride, but is smashing everybody's pride in this material world. While ever we're proud and we're thinking we have something in this world, or we are something in this world, then we're in the greatest illusion. So Krishna immediately, removes that pride. But this contamination in the heart is very difficult. I remember once I was waiting to board an aeroplane, and in this particular airport, there was video screens every corner you turned. You couldn't get out of the way. And so I thought, it's not very good to be watching the videos. I'll try and do a bit of reading and then get on the plane. I can avoid getting too much contaminated. And it was Charlie Chaplin, actually, that was on. And so then they announced that the aeroplane was ready to set off. So I got on the aeroplane, it set off down the runway. And then halfway down the runway, it started to pull to a halt, which is very unusual. And then we came to an abrupt stop. There was no announcements that said what had happened. And then the plane came back to the terminal. We were all asked to get off the plane and go back into the departure lounge. And so I went in the departure lounge, and there it was again, the Charlie Chaplin movie. I thought, well, there's no real harm, actually. I'm too tired to read. It was about 1 o'clock in the morning, there's too much noise to actually take rest. And so I started watching. So I was thinking that actually Srila Prabhupada watched Charlie Chaplin. And Prabhupada actually got a nice story out of it. He made it into a spiritual adventure about Charlie Chaplin sitting down on the bench and his coattails splitting in two, and him dancing in gay abandon, and all everybody else following example. So Prabhupada said, this is how we do something unusual, and we set an example which others will follow. So I was thinking along those lines, and I was watching this film. And so Charlie Chaplin was a tramp, and it was New Year's Eve, and this very rich personality bumped into him. And this personality was drunk. And he had the habit of, when he was drunk, just taking on any friends. So he immediately put his arm around Charlie Chaplin and said, come with, well, it was a silent movie. But they went together on the town, in all the best restaurants, in all the best drinking parlors. And then next morning, they went back to this person's home, or early in the morning anyway. And then Charlie Chaplin and this person went to sleep. And he woke up earlier, Charlie Chaplin, and he asked the butler, he thought, maybe I can use the car. And so the butler gave him the car keys. And so Charlie Chaplin, a down and out who lives on the street, got in the big limousine and he was driving down the road. He looked every bit a gentleman, every bit a tough, as they say. In England, they call a tough a person who has all good qualities, even though he's very, very in a position to be very, very proud. And so, but don't forget, Charlie Chaplin's conditioned. And so he came to this particular section of the city, and he noticed that one person was walking down the street smoking a cigarette. And then he looked at the cigarette and he threw it down. Immediately, one tramp was running over to pick up the butt to smoke the rest of the cigarette. And Charlie Chaplin immediately put the anchors on the car, jumped out, and knocked the other bum out of the way and picked up the cigarette and started smoking it himself. So externally we change very quickly. We look the part. We act the part. We pay very nice dandabats. We worship the deity nicely. And we do so many things. But what's the heart like? It takes a lot more effort to cleanse the heart. So we'll find as devotees, just like Lord Shiva was purified, that we was a few days ago we were talking about Vipralamba, about service in separation, then meeting, then service in separation. So on the higher platform, this is increasing the devotees' devotion and love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But also this is happening on the lower platform, when we are probably just Vaidhi Bhaktas, Sadhana Bhaktas, on the lower, when we're performing devotional service. Maybe some taste there, but not completely. And therefore, because that taste for material life is still in the heart, then Krishna has to deal with it in the same way. When we're not proud and we're trying our best to perform devotional service and serve the devotees and engage nicely, then we get a nice taste for devotional service. We feel Krishna's presence to some degree. We see Krishna when we're reading. We appreciate devotional service very much. But then what happens is that because we're contaminated, then some pride arises in the heart, then Krishna goes away. And then what? We find devotional service extremely difficult for some time. But we wake up. Wait a minute, there's something wrong. So this is a second aspect of this particular verse, is that as well as being able to tell the difference between or who the Supreme Deity is, that's the pastime given here, also we can see the Lord's mercy on his devotee. The Lord is supremely merciful. Sometimes we think he's being very hard with us. But if we persevere, we're patient. Tattenu kampam su samikshamana bonjana evatma kritam viparkam ridvag vapurbir vidadam namaste jiveta yomuktipade sa dayabhaik. Then if we are tolerant of the situation, we offer obeisances to the Lord, we have this knowledge that this is for my good somehow or other, actually I deserve it. And then by that patience, somewhere down the line, we'll appreciate how merciful Krishna was to us. And then what happens? We become so obliged to Krishna, so grateful. Our devotional service increases. So there has to be some pain. Not always, if we're on that platform, but generally, it's painful to clean the heart. No gain without pain, they say. So a devotee is seeing like that, that this lifetime is not meant for necessarily having a good time in devotional service. That may or may not come. In fact, if we're performing devotional service nicely, automatically we experience satisfaction. Although externally there may be so many difficulties, a devotee feels satisfaction even in this purificated process. And when we can adapt to seeing Krishna in every situation and seeing Krishna purifying us in different situations, then actually devotional service becomes very satisfying. It's not possible for a materialist to understand. Our devotee can go through so much difficulty, austerity, pride crushing. Sometimes we put in very embarrassing situations. But we're thinking, here we go again. This is Krishna taking away the more pride. And so much so that in this pastime, Lord Shiva ran after Mohini Murti in the most embarrassing situation. He ran through different places in the universe in front of great sages and he discharged semen. But then at that point he came to his senses. But did he actually cover his face in shame and cower away? No, he was extremely happy because he realized that Krishna had revealed himself more, that Krishna had shown his supreme position, and that Krishna's affection for his devotee is unlimited. So, So this another point here, the last point, is the in this particular chapter, it's emphasizing the effects of the attraction between man and woman. How very, very powerful it is. This is called lust. So this lust is coming from contemplating, trying to enjoy in this world. Jayato vishayam pungsha, sangat teshubha jayate, sangat sanjayate kama, kama krodha vijayate. In fact, Arjuna asks, he's playing the part of a conditioned soul, atokena prayuktayam papam charite purushaha, anichchamapi varshne anirahami vabhaskara. Dear Krishna, why is one impelled to sinful acts? Even unwillingly, I don't want to engage in sinful acts, but I'm forced, as if impelled by force. And Lord Krishna tells him that it's lust only, Arjuna, born out of contact with the mode of passion. When our natural love for Krishna is shown in trying to enjoy this world, then this lust starts to rise in the heart. So this is a very great obstacle in the path of devotional service. And it's not something which the materialistic person doesn't know about. He just cannot do anything about it, that's all. In fact, I was reading about William Shakespeare. He's called the Bard, a very erudite poet. And I was amazed at one poem that he wrote about lust. And I just wrote it down quickly before I came out. Maybe if I were in, I mean, this is old English, and it's very difficult to understand, but if we just listen to it carefully, we can understand how he understands how lust is working and keeping everybody conditioned in this material world. So he says, at the expense of spirit, in a waste of shame, is lust in action, and action in lust. It's pressured, murderous, bloody, full of blame. Savage, rude, cruel, not to trust. No sooner had, but despised straight. Past reason hunted, and no sooner had. Past reason hated, has swallowed bait. On purpose to make the taker mad. Mad in pursuit and in possession so. In quest to have, extreme. Our bliss improved and proved very woe, and proved the very woe. Before a joy proposed, behind a dream. All the world well knows, but actually doesn't know. In other words, lust acting imperceptibly. The material energy is taking us into, and the only shelter is taking us into so many difficult situations due to our lusty mentality. What's that verse? Tribir guna maya bhavir ebe savam idam jagat mohitam nabhijanati mamebhyam paramavyayam. Everybody's bewildered by these three modes of material nature. Even Lord Shiva temporarily was bewildered by the Lord's modes of nature. But Lord Shiva, after this particular incident, he says, this material nature will no longer bother you anymore. So how do we become qualified for getting the same benediction as Lord Shiva? We have to learn to see Krishna in every situation and take shelter of Krishna. If we actually see Krishna in every situation, we cannot help but be blissful. Daivihi ashugunamai mama maya duratyaya mame vie prabhajante mayamitam tarantite. This is a beginning process. We take shelter of the superior energy of the Lord. We are the marginal potency. We are actually, in theory, more stronger than the external potency. How are we becoming covered? How can a lower potency cover us? Because it's divine. It's coming from Krishna. And if we try to enjoy Krishna's inferior potency, then automatically we become conditioned by it. So the only answer is to take shelter of Krishna. And this is what Lord Shiva did. He paid his obeisances, offered his respectful obeisances, and then left for his own abode. So we pay obeisances. The quicker we pay obeisances is a sign of our intelligence. Once one devotee came to see, he wasn't a devotee at the time, but he came into the association of devotees. And Prabhupada was there at the time. And when Prabhupada walked into the room, all the devotees paid dandavats. And this person thought, well, why should I pay dandavats? And then Prabhupada sat on his Vyasasan and started lecturing. And partway through the class, he said, we either pay dandavats now or we pay dandavats at the time of death. So this is our position. We learn to pay dandavats. We remember Krishna. And when we remember Krishna, we remember Krishna's position. We remember our position. We remember Suridam Sarvabhutanam, that in every situation, Krishna's present, that nothing's happening without Krishna's grace. And that Krishna is our well-wisher, so whatever happens is good for us. So how can we avoid being satisfied? But if we have some other ideas of what we want to make this life, how we want to enjoy, then this is when the problem arises. So taking shelter of Krishna means purifying the heart. And then we can start to see Krishna in this way. Purifying the heart by this chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And then we can have the same benediction as Lord Shiva, that we'll never become affected by the material energy. The effects may be there, but we don't lose our Krishna consciousness. We don't become bewildered. So we can stop there. There's 5 minutes left, so if anybody has any questions or any comments. Okay, Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaura Premanandi.